Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. We're still continuing on our intuitive eating series with principle 2 today, which is honor your hunger. I hope this series is helpful for you. I know we've only made it through one other principle, unless for some reason you are listening to these in a different order sometime down the road. I'm really excited. I keep talking about how I'm going to be having guests on here, and I'm not just blowing smoke. This is actually going to be happening. I recorded 3 episodes last week that will be released in the near future. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear that. The conversations were awesome and provided so much more information than just me talking to myself. So I'm pumped for you guys to hear the dialogue. But for today, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the second principle of intuitive eating. So if you'll remember, the first principle was all about working to get out of the diet mentality that has likely been deeply ingrained in you. I know that was the case for me. But now it's time to tune into your hunger, and not only just tune into it, but also honor it. And learning to listen to your hunger is going to set the stage for the rest of your intuitive eating journey and for rebuilding your trust around food. So in this episode, we will be discussing why hunger is natural, a historical study on starvation, tips for how you can start listening to hunger, and finally, I will leave you with some journal prompts like I did last week. Hopefully those were helpful for you. To kickstart this topic, I want you to take a minute to think about all of the things that your body does naturally for you. This might sound kind of cheesy and cliche, and you know, we're in this era where we are very much encouraged to keep gratitude journals and things like that, but think about it for a minute. You know, your lungs provide you with oxygen, and we don't ever have to think about it. Like, we don't have to sit and will our bodies to take in oxygen. Your heart is pumping blood throughout your body. Our organs are doing all these things for us, and we never have to think about it. They're just part of our basic physiological functions. So just like your body needs air, water, and sleep, it also needs food. Yet we give our body so much pushback on something that's so natural. You know, we often express, or at least I've heard people express, how frustrated they are that they feel hungry. You know, I just ate an hour ago. Why do I feel hungry? And it's one of those things that's natural, yet we are still here in 2020 questioning why we're feeling hungry. And we often feel ashamed for feeling hungry. I remember hearing a dietitian say once, when you need to use the restroom, you don't just hold it and try to ignore that urge. So why do you do the same thing with your hunger cues? And prior to that, I had never really thought about it that way. I often felt into that same trap of feeling guilty when I was hungry. And when you're not fulfilling your energy needs, in other words, eating, our bodies are able to detect this as starvation and they respond accordingly. So a classic example you'll often hear people refer to is the famous Ansel Keys Minnesota experiment for starvation. And this study was set during World War II and was designed to help famine sufferers. So you may be thinking, okay, Amanda, didn't you go to grad school? Don't you know how to read studies? Isn't dating back to World War II a bit dated for a study to be referring to? And I'll be honest, I used to think the same thing, but I think this is such a classic example that I hate to leave this out of the podcast, even though we could probably look to newer examples. I just think the way this one was illustrated is so groundbreaking. And I don't know that we would be able to ethically do this today, so it's a little harder to imitate this. So what they did was they took 32 healthy men, and they were selected due to their quote unquote superior mental and physical health. And over the course of the study, the men were required to cut their average caloric intake in half to help stimulate a semi-starvation state. Say that 10 times fast. And the response bore a striking resemblance to what we see in chronic dieters today. And that's why I think this is such an interesting study to bring up. So here are some of the findings that stood out to me. The metabolic rates decreased by 40%. Participants experience food obsession and heightened cravings. Their eating styles change. Bulimia episodes were reported for some participants. Some engaged in deliberate exercise to increase their food rations, because if they did exercise, they were allowed to have more just so it all evened out as far as net calories. And then for some of them, their personalities changed. And when you think about it, these findings were remarkable, but certainly not surprising based on what we know to be true today. If you've ever been on a restrictive diet, you've maybe experienced a lot of these same side effects of deprivation within your own life. And while eating and hunger is often portrayed as something we can manipulate through self-control and restriction, and I say self-control in quotes, by the way, there are actually nerve cells of appetite located in the hypothalamus region of our brains. And therefore, it's not just a matter of willpower, but it's actually a biological drive. When we restrict, this actually switches on neurochemicals that induce eating. For example, neuropeptide Y, NPY for short, is one of these chemicals induced in our brains that turns on this switch for our drive to eat carbohydrates. And we often find that NPY levels to be the highest in the morning after a period of fasting while sleeping, so a period of not eating. And as you can imagine, the NPY is only further revved up by mid-afternoon if you also skipped breakfast. So this might explain that sense of hanger and potential binges when you have gone too long without eating throughout the day. So overall, what you can get from this is that the bottom line is we need all of these macronutrients. And if you're not familiar with what I mean by macronutrients, that's carbohydrates, protein, and fats. Those are these nutrients that have energy attached to them, meaning calories, which is a good thing. And it's not uncommon for people to turn to cutting out carbs to dangerously low levels. For example, the ketogenic diet and the paleo diet, they're both diets that cut down on your carb intake. However, our bodies actually do need carbohydrates as a preferred source of energy for the central nervous system and also to fill up our depleted glycogen stores. So if you're not getting carbs, then your body starts to compensate by breaking down muscle to be converted as glucose. And while people may claim that they are losing weight on these low-carb diets, actually what we're seeing is typically 3 to 4 pounds of water with each pound of muscle lost. Spoiler alert, please just don't go on the ketogenic diet. I'm just gonna save you some of that headache right now. In order to begin honoring our biological hunger, we need to first start listening for it, which may sound easy, but that's not always the case for some people. One of the first exercises I have clients work through is keeping a hunger and fullness journal. Notice how I didn't say keep track of what you're eating using the Fitbit app. I often find that those tools actually lead to more food obsession in both my personal and professional experience with my clients. Instead, we're taking a different approach here in tracking. We're just going to be checking in with yourself several times during the day. And if journaling isn't really your style, you can also use the Notes app on your phone. I'm not sure what the equivalent is on an Android since I use Apple products, but you can create a note on there to jot down what you're noticing throughout the day. So you might be asking yourself, what the heck does this look like? What am I even looking for? This seems a little over the top. And I'm going to give you some ideas of what indicators of hunger might be. For some people, it could be as obvious as your stomach growling or gurgling. We've probably all been in that situation. But some of the less obvious things that may indicate your hunger could be a headache. You might be feeling faint or lightheaded. You might have difficulty concentrating. You might be feeling irritable. But it's going to look different for everyone. Of course, a lot of similarities between us. So then, once you start to see a pattern in your body's hunger cues, you can begin to use a hunger fullness scale to identify your hunger and fullness level. I'll make sure to include a copy of this in our show notes on my website so that you can see what this hunger fullness scale looks like, because it's just much easier to see it than for me to describe it. But I'll describe it briefly here for you. So like I said, it's this scale. You can either refer to it as the hunger discovery scale or the hunger fullness scale. And what you're going to be doing is assigning a number for a couple times throughout the day or before and after each of your meals. So for this week, we're just going to be simply noticing our hunger, and then down the road, we're going to be looking at what fullness looks like for you. But to not overwhelm you, let's just start with hunger. So you're starting from 0 or 1, doesn't really matter to me if you start with 0 or 1, all the way up to 10. And 0 or 1 means that the gas tank is empty. We feel completely depleted. You may feel lightheaded. I mean, these are all going to be very subjective based on yourself and comparing different cues. It's not so important that you get exactly what that number is because it's just meant for you. No one's going to be judging you on it like you might feel like you're judged when you're tracking calories. So on the one end of the spectrum, we have where you're empty and then maybe ravenously hungry. You might be feeling pangs of hunger. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you might have eaten so much that you feel absolutely sick. I always think of that feeling at Thanksgiving where you've eaten a lot of foods because it comes once a year and it's just very exciting, and then you end up watching football and napping all afternoon. It's kind of that uncomfortable feeling. Then there's also stuffed, full, and then this point of satisfaction. So you can assign numbers to those based on what it feels like for you, and in the middle there's just this neutral state. You're not really feeling hunger, you're not really necessarily feeling full, you're just neutral. And this may sound a little overwhelming at first because no one's probably asked you to assign a value or a descriptor to what you're feeling like as far as your hunger and fullness. So this time, simply start looking at what hunger looks like for you. So once you start getting the hang of this, you'll start to notice the patterns in your eating. And I typically encourage people to feel somewhere in the satisfied to full spectrum while eating. But again, we're going to be talking about this later in the episode where we talk about fullness. As you're preparing for your next meal, it's important to do your best to avoid falling into this ravenous spectrum. So if you've ever felt ravenously hungry, I always describe it as maybe I didn't have a chance to have an afternoon snack and I didn't have a very big lunch and I get home from work and I'm just going through the cupboards trying to find any crumb of food that I can get my hands on, and I'm not enjoying the food necessarily. I'm just trying to shove something down to get rid of my ravenous hunger. That's kind of how I describe that feeling. But the big thing is, don't feel defeated if this feels challenging at first. This isn't something that you have great practice of looking for. And so this is really all just meant as a learning experience to see what hunger looks like for you. And also just think of all the years that you spent feeling guilty about eating. It's going to take a little bit of work and patience to get back in tune with your body like you were when you were first born and you could kind of let your mother know when you were hungry. Also, while I'm talking about hunger, I also think there's a very important side note that I want to make. I do want to mention that if you've been severely restricting your intake or you fall into an eating disorder or disordered eating category, intuitive eating is not going to be super appropriate on this stage just yet. And that's not to say you can't take the principles of intuitive eating and start putting those to practice in your life. It's just that if you have been silencing your biological hunger for so long, you aren't necessarily well equipped in this stage to determine when you are hungry or full. So I would really encourage you, if that sounds a lot like you, to really work with your care team. That includes a dietitian with eating disorder experience to help you through these early stages of recovery, because they're going to be able to set you up with a meal plan, but then also start looking at if you are noticing these hunger cues. Because like I said, if you've been suppressing your hunger for so long, I can tell you in my experience, it takes a little bit of time before you start noticing them more naturally for you. Another thing I want to make sure I mention in this episode is that just because you aren't necessarily physically hungry, like you're not noticing it on the scale, that does not mean you can't eat. The last thing I ever want people to do, and this is a common thing that I'll see with people, is that they start to turn this into another diet. And I call it the hunger fullness diet. Food is also a form of pleasure, which we're going to be talking about when we talk about satisfaction in an upcoming principle, but it also brings us joy with life, and it doesn't have to just be purely used for hunger. But sometimes we also don't notice our hunger in the rush of life. So this is a great practice to get you in the habit of seeing what hunger looks like for you if you've never thought twice about it. One example that comes to my mind is that when you're nervous for an event, you might have suppressed hunger. That was usually the case for me growing up when I was a track and cross country runner. I would get so nervous before my races that I felt like I physically could not eat anything, which of course was not smart because you kind of need some energy to fall back on. But just because I maybe am not noticing that hunger up front, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat just because I don't hear the hunger pains, right? So hopefully you're kind of getting the gist of the nuance even in this principle and also in the rest of the principles. So intuitive eating is also about honoring your body's need for nutrients to thrive. I hope today's episode was helpful in getting you started thinking about your hunger and how you've maybe suppressed it in the past. But I also wanted to give you a couple of journal prompts like I did last time, just because if you're trying to work on this between sessions, that might be helpful to kind of get the ball rolling. So my first prompt for you today is, what are some ways you have restricted eating in the past? Can you identify any patterns and behavior during that time? Binging, cravings, irritability, really anything we talked about in that Dr. Ansel Keys study. Prompt 2, as you start taking note of your hunger and fullness, what do you notice? What are your personal hunger indicators? And 3, what are some ways you can honor your body's needs, both your biological and your emotional needs? All right, so that's it for principle number 2 this week. I'll see you guys back here next week with our first guest in this series, Mackenzie Caldwell, or Feed Your Zest on Instagram. And we're going to be talking about principle 3, make peace with food. So I hope you join us. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.